Well, a lot of guys ask me, you know, what used to be here, what used to be there. I have pictures at home of the Japanese schoolhouse that used to be on Palm Drive. And, of course, I didn't know nothing about it until I had, you know, got this small book on Signal Hill, 1974. And it was a Japanese schoolhouse, but when I first went there, it was what they call the gay 90s, you know, sawdust and peanuts on the floor and stuff like that. And then it turned out to be just a regular bar after that, you know, pool tables and stuff. Somebody, some big company bought it and put up a big concrete building there, you know. But it was really nice because I used to hear different people talk about the Japanese gardens. And I had a neighbor, she lived on the southeast corner of 20th and Dawson. Her name was Mrs. Barco. And she could remember before the city was, well, let's just say in the 30s, that from 20th Street clear to the top of the hill was just all flowers, all Japanese gardens. And the same thing out here where the Texaco tank farms are and everything like that. And Mr. Rodriguez, who lives right here, 2700 block Dawson, little white house, he can remember this, what was it, northeast corner of 28th and Cherry, 1919 was a dairy schoolhouse at Willow in St. Louis. I don't remember the man's name, but when I talked to him, he was about 95 years old. And right where the bridge, the overpass, goes over the freeway at Orange Avenue, he owned a dairy there about before the turn of the century. And he says you could look in the direction of L.A. and you could see, you could, if there was a tall building in L.A. then, you could see it without having to climb on top of anything. You could see right across the street the flat land. And there's stories like that. It was really nice. I just wished I had pictures of that. There was a family that lived on 27th Street, west of Walnut, the Mace family. And, of course, the only man that I met out of the whole family was Ray Mace. And that was in 1975, and that's how old he was, 75 years old. And he told me about his family, that they had 40 acres there. They raised corn and pumpkins and stuff like that. And why they tore the house down, I guess his younger brother was about 69, I guess, or something like that. So they were going to put him in a rest home because he couldn't take care of the house and stuff like that. And I was kind of sad to see it go, because he was a pretty nice guy to talk to. And, of course, we got apricots from him, too. And but there's a lot of stuff like that that I just wish that I would have taken pictures of. Even this yard, there's a man in City Hall. His name was Warren Elder. He's an engineer aide. Just about every time there's a change here in the hill, or even here in the yard, he took lots of pictures. And there was another man here that retired in 76. His name was St. Clair Morton. And every time there was something, some change, even like taking one of our streets like Burnett, west of Walnut, between Walnut and Orange, it was just a asphalt walkway compared to what it is today. You know, there was no curb and gutters, nothing like that. And he took pictures of everything. A brand new piece of machinery we got, anything. Half of them, I think, he gave to the Historical Society, I believe. I'm not sure.
When you first came here, I mean, you sort of talked about agriculture and stuff, but when you first came, were there lots of still more oil-related businesses right around?
It was totally oil-related, yeah. Just like, there's oil wells that I tell people there used to be oil wells here. They don't believe me. Like, if you went to 23rd and Raymond, and 23rd, East and West, Raymond, and there's Hill Street, well, right in the middle of that intersection, in fact, it was right in front of the Hilltop Bar, there was an oil well there. There's no indication of it, but there used to be one there. There's a row of condos on Legion Drive, that was all oil wells in there, all the way down to almost to Hill Street. There was oil wells that were, well, all up and down the south side of Willow from west of Cherry toward Walnut. I think that was the Mills Company. There was the gas station right where the Home Bank sits. There was a salvage yard right where the Home Bank parking lot is, Richie. The hill was a lot, there was a lot of salvage yards here on the hill, lots of them, and they were, in those days it was all pertained to oil, and it was a lucrative business. And, but I mean it's, other than the new businesses, before the new businesses started up, it almost became a ghost town because of all the old businesses going out of business, and then the land opening up. Say like the, they were just all over the hill. The west side of Cherry, like where the diner is over here, what do they call it? But there was an old gas station there, and then it became an oil company. There was only two gas stations on the hill when I started. And that was where Mercury sits today on the southeast corner of Willow and Cherry. And the other one was southwest corner of Orange and Burnett, Jack Houston. And then before that, went back to the 40s, right on the northeast corner of Hill and Orange. There's still kind of indications there. That was a service station there also. And then John probably told you about the building that sat on the northeast corner of 21st and Cherry. Yeah, it was an old brick building, stuck wood over. And the second story was a courthouse. Okay, the last time the court was held there was in 1952, as a woman judge. And of course, below that was a bakery. His mother worked there. Yeah. And like I say, he could tell you a lot more. I know when we used to go out on... I should have stuck this in earlier. I went for the water department. I started in about mid, late 61. Then I came back to the street department in 75. But when we put in services or putting in... Well, we used to put in a lot of our own water mains and sewer lines. They were big jobs. They don't let us do that anymore because other contractors were saying, hey, you know, we could do that for less and stuff, things like that. But when we used to get into, come across old oil lines in the ground, you know, and everything, and they get in our way, and we'd have to cut them out. And then I asked an old oil guy one time, he worked for Shell, and I asked him, I says, how many dead oil lines you got in the hill here, you know? So, I don't know, maybe 1,500 miles. I said, yeah. I says, I bet you most of them are just 6 inches out of the ground. He says, shh, you know? And they were, too. They were, you know, they just scratched the soil. But and then when oil lines, he says, they were mostly surface. You know, we just laid them down, got in a hurry, you know, piped this in, piped that in. And he also told me that Temple Avenue, that runs south from Willow to about, we'll say, before the turn on Hathaway, that wasn't a street. That became a street with all the silt running off the hill, and it just covered all the pipelines up that were laying there. That's how Temple began. Because normally, they would come across the hill on Hathaway and go straight over to Cherry. That's how one of the roads ran. In fact, they had to put a stop to that because 21st Street was so congested, and that's before they put a signal in, 21st and Cherry, that people were coming down Hathaway, and rather come down Willow, they just cut and clear across over to Cherry. And the road was good, too, for an old dirt road. But that was private property. So they stopped that, and They put a signal, that's crazy, they put a signal in a 21st and Cherry, and I ran it going home, ran the red light, and I didn't see it coming to work, but I ran the red light going home, and from then on I had to really remember, you know. Yeah, it's been a lot of changes, and of course, not too long ago, they put in another light at Hill and Cherry. That had to be. That was getting real bad. Condos on one side and business and such on the other. And, there were... can't think of very much.
Yeah, what different kinds of jobs have you done for the city?
Oh, well, like I say, I started here, as you might say, as a laborer. And then it was called kind of miscellaneous employee. You know, everybody actually can operate everything, just about. That's what it is today. And I ran the incinerator for about a year, year and a half. Then I went over to the water department and started working with Johnny. Well, I worked with him, and our foreman's name was Lee Dooley, and the plant operator was named was Bob Griffin, and then the meter reader and repairman was Lawrence Jefferson. Of course, everybody called him Jeff. And so I worked over there for about 15 years, and digging ditches, installing new services, water mains, fire hydrants, maintaining them all, and then we got our first backhoe in sometime between 63, 65, something like that. So that was my first experience on a backhoe, and it was a back saver. And so we proceeded to get a new one about 10 years later. And I was working, if I wasn't putting in water mains, I was with the street department helping them lay new sewer lines. And there was a lot of good help started here, and most of them came with equipment experience, you know, background. And but they were a young crowd, and they just, I guess the city life was too slow then for them. So a lot of them quit, a lot of them. It's like John and I always say, we've seen them come, we've seen them go. And that's from upper echelon down to this level here. I operate... I can operate just about everything here in the yard here now. And, of course, all the departments have gotten bigger and better. There's just no doubt about it. When I started here, there was about like 20 guys in the street department. And we did just about everything. Tree trimming, street repair, sidewalk repair, curb and gutter, which we still do today with a lot smaller crew. And... operate the High Ranger. Like I say, with trim trees. The only thing I didn't get to do, I could operate the machine that I didn't want to do when we took care of our own sweeping. You know, I had the sweeper. They asked me if I wanted it, and I believe it was 60, and I said no. I said, why? So I didn't like the hours. You know, go to work at 4, and, you know, and the weekends are bad too, because you got to be in bed real early. So Sal Valentino, he had that for about 10 years, and then he took a test and became a construction foreman, because he wanted off of it too after a while. But I became a supervisor in 78, and I gave it up in 83. I had it up to here. And I just want to get back to what I really like to do. Work out in the streets, operate equipment. And some of these younger guys, they're getting a taste of it. And of course, Roger, I mean, he's going to be one of the best at it. Right now he is. But the idea my idea of a supervisor, or in the old days they call them foreman, you went out there with your help, you know, and because the title title then was a working foreman. But you can't do it today. There's just too many people you have to talk to and such things as that. And that's why I gave it up. I like what I'm doing.
Is there any difference in the work now than when you first came to work? I mean,
oh, yes. Yes. Number one, we cannot do anything as far as like making oil dirt streets like we used to. That stopped in the real early 70s. The last time we did it was just to make some, just for, you know, take care of some parts of the hill, and that was in 77. Other than that, it had to do with the EPA and everything like that. See, that was a no-no. And but now, we had a machine where we could actually pave a whole street. But like you say, it gets...
Have you got 2 minutes I can show you how to use this dialer?
I can't remember, I'll say about 5 years ago. We're in this alley up here, 2000 block, St. Louis. We're between St. Louis and Dawson. And we're picking up, somebody had stacked up a whole bunch of tied branches, big tree they tore down on their lot. And I'm up there with the backhoe, the tractor, and I'm trying to scoop them up a little bit at a time and go up to 21st Street and put them in the dump truck. And this is all in report anyway in City Hall. So anyway, I'm backed up and I try to scoop some more, and I got some, and as I raise the bucket up, I'm about 5 feet or so away from the wall. I raise the bucket up, and all of a sudden I looked over, and the wall just fell over. The whole wall between these people's garage and their alley wall. It was kind of, this wall was sitting at an angle with a gate in the middle of it. Well, that thing went over. I just sat there in amazement. The first thing I saw, I didn't see, I should say, there was no rebar to hold this up, and all the block was empty. There was no mortar filled in the block. It was just like somebody had stacked a bunch of dominoes there with a gate on it. So my supervisor at the time, James Sharp, he came down and he's taking pictures and everything. Of course, we're talking to the irate lady that lived there and trying to apologize and everything. This wall was not hooked to the garage or the other wall. It was just sitting there. Why didn't that thing fall over and what few earthquakes we had? It's amazing. Because I remember the man who bought that house, and that was a driveway where he used to back in a trailer or motorhome. It was just a slick surface. He just threw that wall up there. Somebody did. So that's one thing that the city had to pay for, you know, a new wall to be put in right. Speaking of the person who used to own that house, I believe his name was Maury Shoup, and he lived in 1918 Raymond at one time, which is right next door to me. His son, of course, nicknamed Spud, was killed in that jet crash in 54 that hit right in front of my house where I live now on Raymond Avenue. My brother-in-law Vince at the time was about 9 years old, and him and Spud were very good friends. When that jet hit, my brother-in-law was already walking home, and he was down at 19th and Dawson when that thing hit. And,
Was he hurt?
Oh, no. No, he was... You might say he was pretty well a range, but this jet hit, and it just took out everything that was standing there, including the apartments, we'll say, that were across the street on the southwest corner. There's old pictures of that in the library, too. And the story on that man, the jet pilot, he disobeyed orders. And that's what caused the whole thing. He ran out of fuel or something. No, it was fuel. It was fuel that hit and exploded. That's what it was, yeah.
You were talking about a
street paving machine that we towed behind the truck. And we used it quite a few times, but then as time goes on, like I say, contractors can put it down cheaper than we can. And so we had to give that up. And we gave that up. And now that we have, well, all we have just the dump trucks and backhoes, which we still use very much. there's actually, like I say, the reason why I'm kind of glad I'm getting out of here in a couple of years is that, like Johnny and myself and a few others, it was all heavy construction at one time. You know, we put in our own water mains, sewer mains, and things like this. And we didn't hire contractors to do this for us. Even when they put in the freeway in 62, when they started that, we used to chop our own 12-inch mains and everything and block them off and reroute them. And just the two of us. The thing is, the big heavy construction is gone, and it's just maintenance and routine maintenance, you know, and I don't know. I just, you know, I'm about ready to get out. You know, you get kind of tired of it. It's routine. And I used to get made fun of when I started here. I was 27 years old. I said, man, that's old man's work. You know, I mean, that's just old guys go there and they can't find nothing else. And it was 15 years later, man, these kids right out of school. It's amazing. They know where it's all at now. Because, it's the same thing with telephone company, Edison, good longevity jobs.
I noticed yesterday you were putting up signs about fireworks. I wonder if you've noticed change over time in the policy for fireworks.
Oh, boy, because I used to watch the fires being started from my house on Raymond on the top of the hill. It was, oh, yeah. In fact, we're not done putting up signs. Monday we'll put up more signs all around the top of the hill. We'll have it barricaded in such a way that it'll be all controlled traffic, car and foot traffic, to where they will come in one way and go out another. There'll be no parking on most of the streets, Burnett and 23rd going to the top of the hill. There'll be no parking, because if there was, I mean, it'd just be one big parking lot. And that happened once before. And we'll be working up there. There'll be about five or six of us working up there this coming Thursday until about 11 o'clock at night. Yeah. Well, it's the only fireworks that they have now are at what they call the Roundup, and that's down the ball field. The Roundup that started in about 79. It used to be Festival of the Oil, and I forgot when that started, but there was a president of that organization, Mr. Garcia. His wife made my wife's wedding dress, and his daughter was on maid of honor. I enjoyed the Festival of the Oil better than the Roundup. The simple reason, it was, we had a friend of mine, Hector Arevalo, and his family all had horses. And he was just like a baseball coach. He had all these girls, he had all their own horses, and a big horse show down here in the ball field and everything. And that was a big pit barbecue, deep pit barbecue, such things as that. I remember when they built the ball field, that started in 1962, almost the same time the freeway went in. And That was a great accomplishment, really. I mean, to have all this big equipment come in there and supposedly not charge the city anything. And it was kind of just a bunch of contractors got together and said, yeah, well, Jenkins Construction was one of them. I think that was, they had all the big, big equipment, just like you see on top of the hill now. And we did have to buy some, you know, like the lights. I think they had to buy the lights. But, I mean, it was just the rearranging of the soil that really didn't cost the city anything. And I think the light standards, the light poles, those were donated from the pipe company. You know, it was used material, but it was still good. And I only worked one day at it. I mean, I told Slim, I says, what am I doing down here with this little dinky tractor, man? Look at these guys all running around. I mean, if they don't see me, I'm going to be smashed. You know, I said, it's senseless to have us down here. So there was about four of us, you know, and we just kind of stood to the side and watched what was going on. And so we just, you know, I'd go down there and watch on Saturdays, but I didn't go down there to work. Yeah, they pretty much had it all in hand. You know, they knew what they were doing. Yeah. And now they're adding on a nice a little play area, basketball or something on the upper field, as we call it. And that upfield, of course, that was the only baseball diamond there when I started the city. And there was a man that lived right by it. His name was Ray Brady. And I remember his two sons. And Mrs. Brady, of course, Kathleen, she worked for the city for a while. But I used to hear comments for a long time that new field, instead of being called Spud Field, should have been called Brady Field. And I says, hey, I said, I'm not going to get into that. I said, I know the man. I said, on top of that, I work here. I says, but I used to see the man out there. After, in fact, he worked for the city. He was a building inspector when I started here. And I used to watch that man sit out there and either watch or mostly teach the kids how to swing, how to catch. Oh, he was the greatest. He was really the greatest. But we're really amazed. Of course, my superintendent when I started here was George I. Osborne. Of course, everybody called him Pete. And come to find out, I asked him one time, I says, somebody told me that the superintendent was not his real job. So I asked Pete one time, I said, what is your real classification, Pete? He said, no, I'm a building inspector. But he was, they didn't have that many people in City Hall, so he was kind of covering all the bases, see. But he was covering the superintendent so much that, so they hired Ray as a building inspector. And it was really kind of funny, too, that you look at City Hall today, the upstairs, the second floor, and the basement were never used when I started here. All the personnel was right there on the main floor. And then they start getting in people, and they start dividing here and dividing there. Because when Johnny and I took the test for the city in 57, well, the basement was just a basement. It was just a huge, I mean, if you took everything out of there, everything, you know, opened up everything, that's just how it was. You could stand in the doorway and see every square inch of the walls all the way around you. There was nothing there. And where their conference room is now, as you walk into Public Works, you look to your left, it's a conference room. That was a garage for the chief police and next in command, we'll say, captain. And the police department was upstairs, like, because I know at one end of the hall where the restrooms are on the main floor, I think that was a jail back in there. And then it became a first aid station. They had that one conference room after the police moved. They filled it up with nothing but first aid. And then the basement was actually a fallout shelter. Yeah. And then things started happening. They moved the library from the first floor to the basement and then over to the fire, what we call then the fire department, where it's at now. Changes. I used to know a lot of the names of the city streets before they reclassified them a lot of years ago. 28th Street here, it was lined with palm trees. You couldn't see the street for the palm trees. It was a dirt road. And that was in, that picture was taken in like 36 or 37. Like I say, Johnny had a better, because he worked here two different times before he came back permanent, and he almost did it all. At one time, there was a man called, his name was Cy Capel, that when he worked for the city, it'd have to be back in the 30s, I guess, he was actually his foreman over street and water. At one time, and I don't know if there's, I don't know, is there much to say that I It's just, it's not there. It's not coming back.